you doing? My name's Justin. I'm part of the team here at WBC, and you are the roomies. All the roomies, say hi. Hi. All the onliners, say hi. Actually, all the roomies, say hi to the onliners. Hi. Yeah. See, whenever we do that, it just sounds like a wash of noise. So whatever they heard, that was was what these people said to you. So welcome if you're online, and Lachlan is hosting you today. So say g'day to Lachlan. If you have any in-depth, you know, theological questions, don't ask Dan or I, just ask Lachlan. He'll be right, won't he? And of all else fails, parents, we know what the answer is. It's either I don't know or I'll Google it. That's right. And we'll find the answer somewhere, somehow. This week has been another interesting one, and I'm getting a little tired of saying, this is strange, this is weird, but it is strange and weird. All the roomies are here, and their faces are covered, which is great because, you know, it stops bad breath. That's all right. I'm a preacher's kid. I learned very early on, if you go to church, take some mints with you. Not the mince meat, the mints. Mincemeat? That was a dad joke. That's the shot you play to that one. That was a cricket joke for all those who missed the cricket joke. Mints, M-I-N-T-S, I have like three different kinds in the glove box at all times. But now I've discovered my children like them as well, so I go to get that one and it's gone. So I have to steal Stan's instead. But all I'm saying is, welcome. That wasn't any part of the sermon. That was just a public service announcement. Bring mints with you when you hang out with people. Actually, for yourself now, because you're just breathing and sucking in your own air, right? Anybody annoyed at their own breath right now? Yeah, this is... Where are the beardy people? Who's the beardy people? What's with the masks and wet... It's no. So I'm just going to appeal to the powers that be. Can we get rid of these soon, please? That'd be great. Hey, this week, that was not the message. But if you're growing a beard, I'm standing with you. This week, one of the themes that's gone with me as I've read through the Word and talked with people, and, you know, preaching is just an outcome of what's going on in our lives. That's what you're hearing from our hearts when you hear us preach. And so what's been striking me this week is this idea of bringing our whole selves to God. That idea that God is not afraid of our circumstance. He's not shocked by it. He understands your failings and your fallings. He understands that you fall short. And maybe you don't forgive yourself for that, but you know what? He does. And there was this moment where I said, I think it's just about getting honest with God. Everybody say, get honest with God. Get honest with God. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Get honest with God. I was reading through Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel, right? We don't often go to Ezekiel, but Ezekiel chapter 18, Pastor Stan. Ezekiel chapter 18. I had in my head that it was 17. It's not 17. That won't help you today. Read Ezekiel 18. And there's this amazing prophecy that Ezekiel brings. Ezekiel is hanging out in the 6th century BC with a nation that has been taken away from Jerusalem, held in captivity in Babylon. There's a reason they're there. They've disobeyed. They've done all sorts of dumb stuff. They've stopped with their faithful worship of God and a whole lot of things, and they've landed themselves in captivity again. And sometimes it's hard for us to fully understand that narrative because it's an ancient narrative, but an entire nation has been removed from their place of comfort, where they worship, where they do trade, where they live together, where they build their legacy of family. They've been removed from that place and they're being held in captivity. And they're standing there, and throughout chapter 18 of Ezekiel, you hear the people saying this, it's not fair. You have to stomp your feet when you do that, don't you? Where are the kids? Do you ever look at mum and dad and go, it's not fair? I sometimes look at my wife and do that too, but anyway. So it's not fair. They're saying this over and over and over again. It's not fair. And Ezekiel has this incredible prophetic gift, actually a burden, where he has to hold up a mirror. He has to bring the word of God to the people and say, you know what? I don't think it's God that's got the issue. It says this in verse 25, but you say the Lord's way isn't fair. Now listen, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair? Instead, isn't it your ways that are unfair? Doesn't that just sound like a parent? Just go and look, mate. God speaks Australian, right? Look, mate, seriously, take a good hard look at yourself. That's kind of what God's doing here. So he holds up a mirror and says, you think God, the just God, the God who brought you through so many trials, the God who has such a great track record, and now you're stomping your feet and saying, it's not fair. And Ezekiel has this unenviable task of coming to the people and saying, it's not God, it's you. It's not me, it's you. That's what God's saying. Verse 30, here's the response. Therefore, house of Israel, I will judge each one of you according to his ways. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your rebellious acts so that you will not become a sinful stumbling block. Throw off all transgressions you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. The answer is always, we change. He doesn't change, right? We change. He doesn't change. He is faithful yesterday, today, and forever. So if you find yourself at this moment in time stomping your feet and telling God it's not fair, he may just hold up a mirror to you and say, would you come back into a place of alignment with me? Would you throw off all those transgressions that get between you and me? And would you ask me, because he will grant it, would you ask me for a new heart and a new spirit? Get your head, your heart, and the God stuff aligned, and it will be well with your soul. Because even though pain exists, peace can exist right alongside it. And so Ezekiel gets this task of sort of holding up that mirror. There, now, I don't ever blame anyone for stomping their feet and saying it's not fair. Whenever I read the narrative of the people of Israel having a whinge against Moses, I get it. How many people have whinged about the government in the last 12 months? You're lying, all those that didn't raise your hands. We have a whinge, right? But that's just us being honest. Do you know you can bring your complaints to God? Do you know he wants you to do that? Because at least then you're telling the truth. At least then you're bringing your honest self to God. Because that's the place where humility starts. Bringing your honest self to God. One of the things I love to do is pray with my children. All the parents, we love to pray with our kids. It's a wonderful thing. We try and teach them how to pray. And I just say, pray what you're thinking, essentially. Be honest, you know. And I teach them a few things. We say thank you for Gran and Granddad and the cousins and that sort of stuff. And thank you for, you know, we sort of teach them a few rhythms. But about a year ago, I was sitting with the kids a few nights in a row and they were praying. And they were three at the time. They're four now, much more mature young Christians. Like, you know, they've got the theology down pat now, they're four. But at three, there was a few gaps in their theology and they were praying. And I did one of those dad things where I got the phone out and hit record. And so I just thought I'd share that with you. Is that all right? I just thought I'd share that with you. So this is an honest prayer from 2-3-year-olds talking to God about what's on their heart. Check this out.
Dear Jesus, that you are we get toys from the shops and Jesus, I have a phone here, and we have to charge it every time because it might get flat, and I can't use it anymore. And dear God, that I have this, and dear God, that I like to do rainbows, and we have flowers, and amen.
No, my turn. I laugh. Then when I fight, that's not okay. So, and then we go to
another. I'm not praying.
I
just said, Jesus, that we eat food.
Thank you, Jesus, for eating food.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for I just ate apple to eat and then we're hungry. So you get some things. Then we cut into food and we went home. And this is named Amen.
I was impressed with their prayers because they were praying about things that were going on right then and there. This is the swan. And it's charged at the moment, so it works. Now, the guys told me I was wearing a white jacket. Can you see this one? There it is. And it changes colour and all sorts of things. So this one has been prayed over, so that's good. And turns out Quinn was praying about apples because he was hungry. So I got him an apple, and his prayer was answered, which is good. Also, we'd been to feed the ducks that day, so he was praying about that. Isn't that great? Honest, unfiltered prayer. Why not, right? Why not? Bring your honest, whole self. So you need to get honest with God. Then you need to grow honest with God, maturing in the things of God. Now, this is where the difficult stuff starts. But I'm telling you, there's 1 Peter. First Peter is one of the greatest opening paragraphs ever written in the Bible. Do you like those opening paragraphs of great, great writing? You know, that it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Well, for all the Dickens fans out there. I've got to read this one out, actually, because I get this wrong. It is a true... I've got to do this in a British accent, don't I? I'll try. It is a true... No, I'll do it in a Cockney accent. It's a truth, universally acknowledged, that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Which is from what? Pride and Prejudice. There you go. How about this one? Oh, I like this one. Two households, both alike in dignity and fair Verona, where we lay our scene. Romeo and Juliet. Actually, you should read the opening paraphrase. Romeo and Juliet, two paragraphs, tells you the whole play. You don't even have to watch the rest of it. It's amazing. Peter has this moment where a synopsis of his life comes together and he drops some knowledge. He's the tempestuous one, right? He's the one that cuts off the ear of the guard in the garden when Jesus is being arrested. He's the one that said, don't just wash my feet, wash my head and my hands and my whole body. He's that guy. That's Peter. He's the one that Jesus turned to and said, on this rock I will build my church. He's kind of out there. He's been honest the whole time. With Pete, you get the whole package. And this is his opening paragraph. He's lived through the gospel. He's lived through the movement of what was happening in Acts that we've been teaching through. And this is his letter that he's delightfully titled Peter. It's clever, right? Starts like this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not Simon. Peter. The name the Lord gave me, the authority and the title and the station that he gave me. Peter, an apostle of Christ. To those chosen living as exiles dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. That is just one of the greatest synopses of what you're about to hear from the mouth of the guy who lived it alongside Jesus. You are chosen. God foreknew you. You have been blessed. You have been set apart. Why? For obedience. That's the whole gospel in a nutshell. And then he has this beautiful phrase, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. My friends, we all need grace and peace multiplied to us. And this is why. You need grace for the falling down and for the getting up. And you need peace for the steps that you take beyond that. You need grace for the falling down and for the getting up. And you need peace for the steps that you take beyond that. Too many of us compare the person next to us to where we're up to, right? If I'm ahead of that person, I'm doing well and I feel good about myself. But if I'm behind that person, I'm not doing so well and I feel bad about myself. Compared to this guy, I'm falling down. Compared to this person, I'm... And we live in that place of comparison, and God says, no, no, you need grace for both of those. Don't stand in that place of comparison, because I have lifted you through a lot of trials, through a lot of things, and you should acknowledge my track record. The people in Ezekiel in the 6th century BC are standing there stomping their feet and saying, it's not fair, because we are separated from where we want to be. We're not in Jerusalem. We're not worshiping the way we want. It's not fair. Peter is writing to people who are separated from Jerusalem and can't be there worshiping, and he's saying, you are blessed and you are chosen. Slightly different point of view. Because he's understood the grace that has helped him in his falling down and the grace that has helped him in his standing up. And he's taken that peace with him, the peace that goes with us as we walk with the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So you should give grace because you need grace. You should testify about grace that you've been given. And you should take peace with you. That's why we say shalom to each other. Peace to you. You need to get honest and you need to grow honest. Peter, in this passage, has grown and matured and then said, here it is in a nutshell. You need to get honest, you need to grow honest, and you need to share honestly with others. Tell your story of the grace that has gone with you, of the peace that is with you right now. Psalm 22, one of the most powerful psalms you'll ever read, has this echo of one of the cries from the cross. And it simply starts out, my God, why have you abandoned me? It's not fair. Why have you abandoned me? And David goes through all the lists of things that are going wrong, enemies that are rising up, kingdom that is not making sense, war that is happening all around him, and it's not fair and it doesn't make sense. And then as the psalm continues, he starts to talk about God's faithfulness and God's goodness, and you can see this whole process of he's getting honest. Why have you forsaken me? And he's growing through his honesty and he's speaking absolute truth. This is what's happening all around me. And then he starts to share, and it's a beautiful moment when he starts to share, and he says in verse 22, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you in the assembly. I will tell your story. This whole psalm started out with, why have you forsaken me? And it's ending with, I will tell your story. I will proclaim your goodness. I will do this because it makes sense to my heart. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. For he has not despised or abhorred the torment of the oppressed. He did not hide his face from him, but listened when he cried for help. He hears you when you cry for help. He listens. He sees you in those moments of it's not fair and why have you abandoned me? And he says, I was there at the start when I picked you up, when you understood, when you got honest with me and got humble and handed your life over. And I've been there the whole way through as you've matured. Now I want you to get to that place where you're able to share that story and tell of the good news. And we come back to that simple, simple lesson that we learn in Ezekiel, that we are simply to hand our lives over. Simply to hand our lives over. It's a really simple lesson. It says, repent and turn from your rebellious acts so they will not become a sinful stumbling block to you. Throw off all your transgressions you have committed and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Doesn't it just sound so easy when you say it like that? Get it. Get yourself a new heart and a new spirit, but it's not something you can pop down the shops for. It's something that you have to decide to do. Because when you're getting honest, you're growing in trust. When you're growing honest, you're growing in, the trust has to come alongside. This thing that says, even though I don't understand, I will trust my God. Because you know what? He's got a good track record. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we say, it's not fair. And he says, no, mate. It's not me, it's you. But he says, I'm there with you. And I will be with you even to the end of the age. Get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Get rid of the things that come between you and God. And even if your prayer is as simple as, I'm hungry, give me something to eat. He says, which father, when his child says, give me something to eat, would give him a rock instead of a loaf of bread? He said, I will give to you what you need. I am here for you. I understand you. I see you. And every child and every teenager and every young adult and every adult, every tired parent and every older person who's sitting here going, but I need, but it's not fair. Whatever it is, bring your honest prayer to God. Bring your hunger and your thirst, because he's a God that doesn't abandon his children. He doesn't abandon his children. If you need to ask for forgiveness today, ask for forgiveness today. If you need to ask him to be Lord of your life today, ask it again. Maybe you're the person that says, I've been a Christian my whole life, but I haven't surrendered for a while. I've been trying to do it in my own strength. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. Your hunger and your thirst will only be satisfied by a God who understands how you're wired. And he wants to bless you. And he will be there for you. Get honest with God. Grow honest with God. And Christian, share honestly of the things that God has done for you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time together today. Thank you for these wonderful songs we've been able to sing. Thank you for this time we've been able to focus our hearts and our minds on you. And I pray that if we've been challenged in any way, that we would trust you enough to get honest with you and bring our unfiltered prayer to you. Remind us of your track record. Remind us of what you've brought us through. Remind us of the strength that you place in each of our lives to get through each day. Lord, help us to lean on one another, to tell the stories of your goodness and your grace. And Lord, above all, give us grace in our falling down, grace in our standing up, and peace in the steps that we take. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.